Welcome to this week's edition of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, where we in the Upper Cumberland saw four players at three schools sign national letters of intent for football on Wednesday afternoon. Donovan McAllister and Nick Stacy each signed at Upperman. Kevin Borjas signed at Monterey, and Will McDonald signed at Livingston Academy. Be sure to log on to ucsportsnation.com to find out where all four of those young men signed. And now, back to basketball. The York Dragons are playing some of their best basketball at the right time. For head coach Russell Taze, he says it's just a testament of their growth as a team.
A big part of it is we're playing better than we were earlier. We're playing better as a team. Doing a better job defensively, being a little more patient on offense, and looking for better shots. You know, Upperman's a good team. Good defensive squad, and down at their place, I think we took a lot of quick shots, and that led to a lot of runouts for them, and so here we just wanted to try to be a little more patient with the ball and work our offense a little bit better and just show a little more discipline, and I think that showed up, and in a lot of ways, we're a better team than we were back in December. So we still got some improvement to make, but, feel a lot better where we're at right now. You look at a team like Upperman, and they're one of your upper echelon teams that if you expect to go very deep in the tournament, you're going to have to be able to play with them. You're going to have to be able to beat that type of team. So it kind of gives us a gauge of where we're at and what we need to do going forward here.
And I don't know if we can talk about that game without talking about just the tremendous fan support you guys had. I know that's not really much of a surprise to you, but how much does it mean to this team to have the kind of support that you guys do?
We've got a great fan base. We've got a great community we live in. They love the basketball and always have. I was coaching here in the 90s, and it's not much different now than it was then. When we travel, we always take a lot of our fans with us. And when we have a big game like the Upperman game, they come out in droves and pack the gym for us. It's really an advantage for us when we play at home because we just have a really good fan base and they're very supportive. It's a huge factor to our guys and just motivating them to play harder and it really helped us a lot the other night against Upperman. We made a really good run at them late. We just couldn't get a shot or two to go down, and they were able to make a couple big shots. But the fans, our crowds are always strong, and that's one of the big advantages that we have.
What's been the message to your team at this point in the season when it kind of feels like everything is moving slowly, it's a grind, you've got school that's in full swing, you've got practice? What's been the message to your team?
That's always something I think this time of year that every team has to deal with. It does become a grind. And what we try to focus on is just where we want to finish at, what we want to accomplish, and we try to look at it as one game at a time and try to, look for ways to keep our kids motivated and keep them up and keep them mentally focused on what we got to do and make sure we got the kind of effort we have to have. We are in control of where we finish and we have four games remaining in the regular season, and all four of these are going to be very important. And like I tell them before, we can't afford to come in and not be mentally focused, mentally ready, no matter who it is we're playing. Because by this point, teams are really kind of they're making their move to become, to be a better team, and are playing better. Or teams have kind of, in some cases maybe bellied up, because this is a hard part of the year. And we don't want to be one of those teams that gets lax in our effort and in our focus. And we just got to try to keep a good positive attitude and just keep looking at them one at a time and just keep working and just keep them moving in the right direction.
Your seniors have been key cogs of your team so far this year, and you've told me before the season, you've told me all during it about how important Roger and Noah would be to this team's success. What is it that makes them the perfect leaders for this team?
Well, they're both very talented, very skilled. They've got good size. You know, they've got the ability that you really need in your leaders. You know, they've got to be guys that you can kind of turn to in a crunch, and when you need a big play or a big basket, they have to be willing to step up. And both of them have really grown and matured, and I think they really they embrace that role. And both of them in big games, I mean, they're going to be looking for their shots and trying to be that leader that we have to have with some of the younger guys we're having to play with them. And they've just, like I said, they're both very mature and they're seasoned. They've got a lot of experience under their belt, and they've been here before and done that. And they have an idea of what it's going to take for us going down the stretch right here in order for us to, finish this thing out the way we want to finish it, you know. So they've done an excellent job of that, and our younger guys have responded well to them and look up to them to be those leaders that we need. So they're just huge cogs in what we're about. And what we find out a lot of times is, you know, they're going to draw a lot of attention defensively from another team, you know. They're able to, even though they're getting a lot of attention and a lot of extra defensive adjustments made toward them, they do a good job of finding ways to get points and finding open teammates and things like that. So just very pleased with Noah and Roger as far as their leadership goes.
In segment two of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we'll hear from the Clay County girls, fresh off an upset win over Clark Range, and the Cookeville High School boys, who dropped 90 points in a Friday night matchup against McMinn County. Welcome back to segment two of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. The Lady Bulldogs are in a good position heading into the final few games of the season, something head coach Matthew Walker attributes to the growth and maturity as players.
I'm just getting contributions out of everybody. You know, this time of year, the young girls are no longer young. They've got, 24, 25 games under their belt, so they're just getting better every week.
You know, I feel like we see this kind of response to a couple of losses a few weeks ago like y'all had. You see this kind of response from teams that have a healthy dose of upperclassmen talent, but you're a team that has one senior and a handful of juniors. I mean, it's safe to say, right, that your team has grown up a ton in front of our eyes, right?
We have, and I think that's a big credit to our depth and the quality of practice we're able to have because of that depth.
So let's take it back a week ago now. You guys hosted Clark Range in a game that I think a lot of people would view as a measuring stick game to kind of see like how far you've grown, kind of see how far you've come as a team. Take me kind of through the first half of that game and just kind of how you viewed how your team was playing at the time.
Well, you know, we didn't score the ball very well on offense. We just got a lot of good shots and missed a lot of good shots and even passed up a lot of good shots. I think we was a little hesitant and a little tentative, and then the shots wouldn't go in, but our defense was solid. You know, at halftime, we had accomplished pretty much every major goal we had other than sticking the ball in the basket.
How hard is it, as someone who's played them a couple times now, how hard is it to stop the Monday Twins at Clark Range? Because you've got a lot of really good defensive players, but I know that those two are a challenge for anybody.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you're not going to shut them down. Just like any great player, they're definitely going to score some. I think we held them to 20 or 40 or something like that. You know, they still had the majority of their points, but they had to work to get it.
How important in games like that, when you're playing teams like that, how important is it to say, like, okay, these guys are going to get theirs, but as long as we can kind of keep the rest of their team under control, we can win this game?
Yeah, just having a defensive mindset and making them work to earn everything they got. Trying to take away some of the things that they do, some of their tendencies and some of their preferred shots, and make them do something that's uncomfortable for them.
So your team found themselves down 32-20, I believe, at the end of the third quarter. What's going through your mind heading into the fourth?
You know, whether the shots go in or shots don't go in, you know, I was pretty happy the way that we guarded them. And, you know, hopefully we get a chance to see them a couple more times this season. And I felt all along that if we played them 10 times, you know, we wouldn't beat them 10 times. They wouldn't beat us 10 times. And, you know, hopefully we get a chance to play them again.
The Cookeville Cavaliers picked up transfer Kostas Biakas right before Christmas break. Coach Hurd and staff are happy to have him, that's for sure.
Well, I mean, it's funny. You know, his parents sent me an email, and I'll be honest with you, Justin, you know, most coaches know when you get something from somebody on an email, you never know what the player looks like. You know, you just don't know. So I had no idea who he was, had no idea of his scoring prowesses. I had no idea what he'd done in high school. They just told me that he would be here the day before we left for Christmas break. So, you know, when he showed up in practice, I met him the day before in the attendance office, well, in the counselor's office. That was the first time I knew how tall he was, first time I knew what he looked like. You know, I met him that day. I told him, just come in tomorrow. You'll have practice, and your practice will be your tryout. And, you know, just right away, you could tell his quickness. You could tell his finish ability, his leaping ability. He had an outstanding, you know, day for the first day, you know, and the team took him in, the team accepted him, and, you know, he's learned every single day. You know, he came in and played hard on the defensive side of the ball. He's helped us tremendously on the rebounding. You know, that's been one of the biggest things that he's helped us with, just bringing another body down there that can rebound the ball. And, you know, that in itself, you know, that is almost just like adding to our offense because that gives us more possessions. So, you know, with him scoring, you know, 20 points or whatever it may have been versus McMahon, I don't remember what it was. But, you know, that was something that me and the coaches and probably the players had seen when he came and tried out. You know, he just needed to get used to the players and just used to how we spread the floor and move the ball. And, you know, and now, you know, with all these extra practices that we've been able to have, and, you know, he's become used to the players, and, you know, he's you know, taking them in, and he knows their game and they know his game. So that has helped him, you know, on both ends of the floor as well. You know, so he's been a tremendous addition, you know, and not just him, but, you know, all the our seniors have started to step in. You know, we've you know, Braden Brown, you know, he's had a great last 2 weeks, you know, just scoring the ball, rebounding the ball. You know, we've made some changes and putting him at the point, and that has changed up our offense, you know, greatly. You know, now we have more shooters on the wings, you know, by putting Zach Hall and Bailey Gillen out there on the wings together with Braden Brown penetrating ability. You know, he's going to get the ball to them, and he's going to get shots for them. So, you know, it's been a good 2 weeks. You know, the team has grown, and, you know, I'm excited to see what we're going to do these last three games, and I'm excited to see what we do against Sparta. You know, so we just got to come out and have fun.
I think that the mark of great coaches are not people who try to fit a square peg into a round hole. It's a guy who adapts what he does to what his guys can do. And that doesn't happen all the time. You get people who are set in their ways and stubborn, and we're going to run this till the cows come home. But obviously you've not done that, and it's starting to pay off here.
Well, thank you. And I will say, you know, the coaching staff is awesome. You know, we talk on ways to get better, and, you know, our players have came in, you know, in practice and went hard. You know, it's funny, you know, I told the boys, you know, we need to change something up. So we started practicing at 5:45 in the morning, you know, and that's the days that we go anytime we have a game. So the day before, we always go at 5:45. And, you know, we got to turn these boys into some blue-collar workers, you know, and those blue-collar workers, they get up at 5:30 and go to work, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, us changing that, you know, has helped. But not only just the, you know, the work ethic, but also giving their bodies time to rest. You know, we go hard in practice the day before, and probably harder than most teams do, but, you know, I'm just used to just, you know, going hard every single day. So with going at 5:45 in the morning, that gives the boys an afternoon off. Their bodies can rest. They can, you know, regenerate. And then, you know, the next day they don't play again until 7:30 at night. So it's almost like having 2 days off with your body, you know. So, you know, that has helped us as well. But, you know, just the boys buying in, you know, that's been the biggest difference.
At the halfway mark of the high school playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders, we will visit with the Monterey Wildcats and head coach Adam West. Welcome back to the third segment of the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Our only stop in this segment will be with head coach Adam West from the sixth-ranked Monterey Wildcats.
Well, everybody's, and since we reseeded the conference this year, everybody's battling for that 1-2-3-4. You know, 1-2 gets a double, 3-4 gets single, and then everybody else has to play that first round. And So it's really made a difference in how people have competed for the regular season, you know, because we've been in this new alignment with eight teams for the last two seasons. This is our third season, and in our third season, you know, we finally decided to go that route. And so that's kind of how it's worked out.
And just how important would the double bye be to your team? I know it obviously gives you time, you know, you have to play two less games and gives you some time to rest and to scout the other team a little more while you will face them with some tired legs.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's our first trip, you know, first try to get one of those. So, I mean, obviously if we were fortunate enough to get that, then I think it'd be huge in the sense that it automatically puts you in the region and gives you an opportunity there. But I think the other thing, and I've watched some other teams play in those double bye games, boy, you really have to be able to really maintain your sharpness and through practice. And so so that's one of the keys to it.
Coach, here at Monterey, you're winners of eight straight games. What's been going well here over the past 3 weeks here on the mountain?
Defensively, we've kind of came and played, you know, more times than not, and obviously improvements there. And offensively, you know, we've just done a better job of sharing the wealth and guys making shots. And, you know, and our schedule was a lot tougher earlier on where we were on the road in some of the tougher environments. And, you know, I thought we had a lot of growth ahead of us, and we still have some growth that we could benefit from. When you guard better and you score, you know, around everybody kind of puts in their own fair share, then that's really the difference in the game. So that's kind of where we're at. You know, we've been fortunate enough to get some close wins too that you got to win, you know, in your conference to be successful.
Coach, this group of seniors has been the most successful group in the history of Monterey basketball. Just what has this group meant to you from the time they started until now?
Well, they're special, and you know, we use that word. We've been fortunate to use it multiple times over their career of teams that have been here, and they were part of something that when the chapter is done for these guys at this school, there'll be a lot of guys out there kind of obviously gunning for that, but they set the bar really, really high, and you know, a lot of these kids I've been a part of their lives for a long time, and just been very fortunate to be a part of their lives for the last 4 years.
Coach, talking about being a part of some of these guys' lives, this will be the last season, I believe, that you'll be able to coach one of your sons at the high school level anyway. What will you miss the most about that time you've got to spend coaching your sons playing basketball there at Monterey?
Well, you know, a long time ago I kind of begrudged it because I really felt like it was a burden as a father and as a coach. And when I had my older one and when they first came along, and I, to be honest with you, there was nights I just thought, you know, I wish somebody else had to deal with that. But you know, as I've gotten closer to this moment and with him and with my other one, now that he's in college, and it was just, you realize the time that you had. And you know what? I used to avoid talking about basketball outside of here because I didn't want to kind of take away from our home life, but it's really kind of increased. When I said I wasn't going to do that, it actually went the other direction, and we spent a lot of time talking about, you know, analyzing their play and analyzing film and talking about other teams, and you know, that's probably what I'll miss when it all comes down to it, is that moment of being able to, you know, to talk about the game film with somebody that rides with me every day, and you know, I see every morning or every night, and that's kind of it's been kind of a special time there. And obviously having siblings, you know, hearing them talk when they were talking about it was nice too, but that obviously be something we'll miss.
And Coach, I know you probably will go on the, I don't know, the lesser side of this talking about your own son here, but Peyton also is a really special player. He's going to walk out of there with a handful of school records. Just talk about, you know, him playing, and I know it's hard, him being your son, but, you know, Monterey goes as Peyton goes.
Well, every team in our conference has a player that key on, you know, that you think, well, I got a key on this kid, and we're fortunate enough that we got kids around him that have been able to make shots and kind of alleviate some of that pressure off of him, so it's been good. But as far as, you know, what he has meant for this program, you know, he he's a good teammate. He comes every day. He puts in his own time on work. He's in here in the gym doing his thing, you know, in the off season. You know, he put three hours a day, an hour and a half in the weight room, an hour and a half on the floor. And I'm telling you, that's just that's what sets the standard for future people that want to be there. And you know, and I think night in and night out, he sets what should be a competitive spirit, you know, a good competitive spirit, not necessarily a trashy one that we wouldn't be proud of here at the school. And so, record-wise, we keep posting about he's in his 93, 94 wins now at this point of his career with these seniors. And so that's obviously something we're extremely proud of. And assists, you know, he's over 500 assists and getting near 1,500 points. And, he's been a good teammate. And wasn't always happy with his playing time early on, but he kind of worked his way in. And he's been good for Monterey High School, that's for sure.
In the fourth segment of the High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders, we hear from Coach Michael Dodgen and the Warriorettes of White County and Danny Fish in DeKalb County. Thank you for joining us for the fourth segment of this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Despite the hot start to the year, the White County Warriorettes are looking for consistency with the regular season winding down. For head coach Michael Dodgen, it all starts on defense.
Well, for the first time in probably a week and a half, we played with a lot of intensity and a lot of effort. And, you know, we paid attention to details and just did what we were supposed to do every time that we stepped on the floor.
I know you've been talking a lot recently about how you're just kind of looking for that consistency at both ends of the floor. Is that still kind of the case?
Well, it's still kind of the case. I mean, you know, one game doesn't change, you know, any flaws that we've had. It makes it better, but we've got to come back and give the same performance, you know, Tuesday night, and give the same performance again on Friday night. We've got to continue to do that consistently. You know, if you're going to beat teams that are above you or teams, you know, that may be better than you.
You know, the season is, you know, you're in the meat of the schedule. How do you feel like your team has handled all of that kind of at one time?
I mean, we've handled it well. We've just not played very good. You know, we've handled the fact that we're playing. We're handled the fact that, you know, we're playing 2 to 3 games a week, and you know, we're doing different things there. I mean, we're playing. You know, we're competing, but we're just not. We got to quit putting our head down when one mistake happens or one thing happens that doesn't go our way. And you know, we've just got to fight through that adversity a little bit, and we've got to, you know, grow up physically and mentally.
And that segues perfectly kind of into my next question. How important at this point of the year is that senior leadership when you're dealing with adversity at this point in the year?
Well, anytime it's senior leadership, you've got to have senior leadership, but you've also got to have leadership from your younger kids too, that don't allow a funk to set in and a funk to happen. And you know, we've kind of shied away from that a little bit, and you know, we've got to just play and do what we need to do and trust what we're doing and trust the process that we're going through. And you know, you may not always come out on top, but if you can compete and play hard and play at a high level, you're going to give yourself an opportunity and a chance to win every ball game.
So one of those seniors I wanted to talk about was Julia, because it seems like every time I look at the box score and you know, every time I see y'all play in person, it seems like lately her rebounding has really kind of taken center stage in her game.
Well, a couple games ago, she was the only one that would rebound for us, period, which is a very bad issue. I think when we played Stone the other night, she had 17 of our 26 rebounds. So, you know, Julia's doing a very good job of hitting the boards, and especially on the defensive end of the floor. You know, if she's around the rim, she's been very, very good at getting the rebound and handling. And I think she's averaging 6.9 rebounds a game right now for us, which is – you know, in high school girls basketball, that's really, really good. And on any level, that's pretty good. But, you know, she just has a knack to go get it and a knack to just go get the rebound. But, you know, we just can't rely on her to get every rebound. I feel like Ray and Stone did a good job of pulling her away from the rim defensively, which kept her from being able to get a rebound early on because she was having to guard on the perimeter so much. But – you know, Julia's stepped up and Julia's given us everything that she's got every time she steps on the floor.
Though the team has faced injuries and illness, head coach Danny Fish at DeKalb County believes that the team could still be further along in the developmental cycle. With that said, he also says he likes the leadership he's gotten from his seniors.
No, I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, because I always am. I thought we would be a little bit ahead of schedule, but we've been banged up, and we've just been able to maintain, and we're actually playing, you know, better than we have been. Last Friday night was the first time that we'd actually dressed our entire team since 1st January, so it's always a plus, and hopefully we'll start playing the best at the right time.
Has there been any progress in any area of the game that has kind of surprised you about your team this year?
Yeah, our physicality and our, you know, our defense is starting to lock down a little bit. So hopefully we can continue that, because, you know, when you get to the postseason, you know, scoring's at a minimum. So hopefully our defense and our rebound and physicality will continue to do what it's been doing.
And we're also at the point in the season now where school is back in full swing. You've got the pressure of the district race going at the same time as that. Do you feel like your players are managing all of that well?
Yeah, I mean, we're a pretty veteran group that's been playing for a couple different years. So they've learned to manage down the stretch with their grades and their time management, and then, you know, the time that we're putting into basketball. So I feel like we're in good shape. We're in, you know, good position to make another postseason run.
I know that I've asked you about each of these next two players, respectively. I know I've asked you about each of them about different things at different points in the year. But as far as leadership, and especially from seniors, what do you like about what you've gotten from Maya and Emmy?
Oh, I'm telling you, they've really grown over the past year, the past 4 years. But Maya has really kind of turned it on here the past couple of weeks with her leadership on the floor and leadership in the locker room, too. I mean, that's what I was telling my mom the other day, is that we've had more conversations the past 4 weeks than we've had the past 4 years, but the conversations have changed. You know, earlier in her career, it was more so me talking to her. Now it's her rebuttaling and giving me information back. And I think that because of that, it's allowed us to grow a little bit more the past couple of weeks. And Amy's been a constant since she's been here, 4-year starter, 1,000-point scorer. You know, she knows what to do, and she gets it done on both sides of the floor. And she is would you say the class clown? You know, she kind of keeps it light, you know, in the locker room and on the floor. You know, anytime that it gets pretty intense, she's always the person that can keep it light. So you need that good mixture.
In the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built as always by Mountain Barn Builders, we travel to Burgetown to visit with Coach Eminette and the Pickett County Bobcats. And just like that, the fifth and final segment of this week's High School Playbook, built by Mountain Barn Builders. Coach Eminette's boys basketball team there in Pickett County is only one game out of third place in the district with 3 games left to play. There still is a lot on the line for the Bobcats there in Burgetown.
You know, it's been it's kind of been a couple of different seasons for us. It's been unique. Our conference is really, really competitive, and I think that we're not playing our very best basketball, but we're getting closer to it as the season has progressed. And I kind of like where we're at right now, and I like that that we still have a little bit of room to grow. And we have an opportunity to kind of peak at the right time.
And speaking of maybe not playing your best basketball this season, but you've grown, I think that has a large part to do with how young your team is.
I think so. You know, we have 2 seniors on the team, and that's it. And you know, we had an injury. We had a kid that started all summer in team camp and played a lot last year that got hurt, which changed our team dynamic as well. And it's just, I think when you've got a lot of 15, 16-year-olds on your team, that it takes a little while physically and mentally to adjust. And I think we've grown, and I think we've gotten better. I think we've been competitive all year, But I think we're getting in a position now to continue to get better as we go into postseason play.
Well, speaking of that growth, what is the biggest area of improvement you've seen from your guys from the start of the season till now?
I think the importance of them recognizing the importance of doing the little things throughout the game. When you have an inexperienced team like we've had, and you know it takes for them a little while for them to adjust, understanding how important it is to do the little things in a game that you don't get a lot of credit for, but they put you in a position to win games like they did the two games we won last week. And I think that maturity that comes with one, you need to win some, gain a little confidence. And then when you see that those little things matter and you gain that confidence, you'll be a little more focused and willing to do those game in, night out.
And with the district tournament coming up here in the next 2 or 3 weeks, what's an area that you still need to see your team grow in to have a successful postseason run?
You know, I think the thing with us is we're not we're not the most physically overwhelming team, and with that, we have to be willing to sit down and guard every possession. And like I said before, do the little things every possession, block out every possession, meet every pass. Because we're not physically going to outman someone, so we're going to have to outskill them and out-hustle them and be a little smarter than the team we're playing.
You've been really competitive all year. You have a handful of really close losses, and now you're starting to turn some of those close losses into wins. What do you think your kids have learned from those earlier games this year where they just weren't able to finish, and now they're able to turn it around and finish those games?
I think that it's been an unusual year. We've won a lot of close games too. You know, we beat Livingston by 1 point and 2 points. We've had a lot of close games this year that we've actually been able to win. We just lost some close ones in conference play, and you know, a couple of those where we made some mistakes late. We missed some free throws. You know, we don't have a lot of room for error that other teams might have that have a more physical presence. I think that they've learned the importance of when an opportunity presents itself, we need to take advantage of it. We need to convert. We need to get stops. I think there's just a little more awareness of the fact that we need to make a play when we need to make one. And then the other thing of it is when we do make a bad play, I think the thing that we've grown the most this year is that we kind of get on to the next play now. We don't let one bad play turn into three bad plays. We make a bad play, we recognize it, and we try to get on to the next play. And I think that's probably the biggest difference in us being able to win a couple of close games here down the stretch.
Coach, I talked with Lance Mason on Sunday, and he talked about how, and as an expecting father, I really appreciated what he said about you, is how you never really pushed your kids to play basketball, but when they decided they wanted to play, you said, all right, we're going to be serious about it. You know, I'm going to be involved. How special has it been for you to be a part of your son's playing career to this point?
You know, it's been unusual. It's not something that I ever intended on doing. I really had no intention of ever going into coaching at much of a level. You know, when they were younger, I volunteered for junior pro and some of those things that went on. Then I volunteered at the middle school, and then we had a coaching change. We had a coach here that got an opportunity about 3 weeks before the season started to get a job with the state about 4 years ago, and it kind of left the school in a little bit of an unusual situation. They really didn't have a position. The coach left 3 weeks before the season, and 3 or 4 weeks, I don't remember exactly when, but somewhere there close before the season started. And, you know, I agreed to volunteer for that 1 year, and that 1 year's turned into 4 years, it seems like. But, you know, it's been good and bad. You know, coaching your own sons is a double-edged sword. I'll be honest with you, it's almost like when you coach your own sons, you'll be one of two ways. You'll either be too easy on them or too hard on them, and I feel like I've been a little bit more to the latter. I've probably been harder on them at times. But I try to take times to enjoy the experience of it and enjoy the ride of it. But a lot of these kids that I'm coaching, I've been coaching them since they were in third grade through junior pro and through middle school basketball. So it's a
they're all a pretty special group for me to be able to coach, to have known these kids since they were 8, 9, 10 years old, and including my sons. It's just a special opportunity. And to coach people that thing that's a little unique to me is to be able to coach people that you went to high school with their parents and you've known their families their whole life and you were friends with them, grew up with them. It makes it a little more special to me to be able to be part of the kids that I went to high school with, children's lives. So it's a unique situation that I try to take time to appreciate.
Thank you for tuning in each and every Wednesday night to the High School Playbook built by Mountain Barn Builders. Be sure to log on throughout the week to ucsportsnation.com to see how all of your favorite sporting teams around the Upper Cumberland are faring. ucsportsnation.com, driven by East Tennessee Dodge. For Rusty Ellis, I'm Justin Matheny.